As a homeowner, I can't help myself. I'm always thinking about fixing this and changing that. For the money, for the beauty, for the knowledge and the peace of mind. It's about time for the Love My Renovation Project with Mike Young.
Welcome to Love My Renovation Project. My stands for Mike Young, of course. Anything with my in it is mine, all mine. Anyway, when you get a house, you got to fix it up. You can't just leave it like you buy it. In most cases, there's something you don't like about it. And that's what's so cool about the 203K and other renovation projects or renovation loans. We have about 9 of them. 9 different renovation loans that you can deal with. And one of them is likely going to fit your project best. So if you want to get a hold of one of our lender experts and let them know what's going on. But we deal primarily with the FHA 203K and the Fannie Mae Homestyle Renovation Mortgage. There's just a couple of them. Seems to be a great deal of consultants out there that think there's no work for them. That their market's been flooded with consultants. That's so far from the truth, it's kind of pathetic. I'm not downing those consultants that think it's that way, but it's not. The more consultants in an area, the more everybody will do. So don't look at it that way. You have to realize that you have to do your marketing separately. Don't worry about what those other people are doing. Take over all that business yourself. It's very simple. Our training program shows you how to get 40 jobs in 60 days. And if that isn't a good start, I don't know what is. And yet, some of the people talking about the area being saturated are talking or have taken our course and just aren't applying the stuff we give them. So it's funny and sad at the same time. So if you're complaining that you're not getting enough work, you're not doing what you need to do, and that's clear. Most 203Ks and other type loans go off without a hitch, as you know. Most of them are just really smooth. Everything's fine. Every once in a while, you get one that's got a problem. And if it has a problem and you don't have anybody to talk to on your side, go to 203K911.com and tell us about your problem. We'll see if we can't help you. 99% of the people we've been able to help without any costs or fees to them. Or anybody else, friend. We just didn't get paid for those things. They were just happy to help. When we charge you, it's because you have asked us to do the work for you. So that's where we are. If you want us to do it for you, we'll charge you a small fee and do that work for you. So you don't even have to do that. In any case, you'll have somebody you can talk to that's going to give you the straight answers and knows the rules that we're playing by. Chances are homeowners don't build a house every day, so they don't know the rules, and they don't know how their rights are being infringed upon. But we do a house about every day, sometimes 2 or 3 or 4 a day. If you've got a topic you'd like us to discuss in more specific terms and you don't want to be on the radio, then go to the 203K911.com, scroll down to the message center, tell us all about your problem, give us a phone number, or we'll send you an email back and let you know what time's a good time to call us. So let's see what we got in store for us today. Let's see. We're completing a 203K project a while back, and the contingency reserve had not been used at all. The contractor stayed on budget, and that's a first, right? Not. Anyway, the homeowner called me and said, hey, contractors agreed to painting our house. For us for the money that's left in the contingency, which is about $5,700. Their house is a 2-story, so it sounded like a pretty decent price for that. But to use that for an option, the criteria to use the contingency money must result in a dollar-for-dollar increase in the value versus the money spent. Okay, so it's for health and safety primarily, or of necessity. But at the end of the project, if you're, you know, when you got 90% of the project done and there's something else you'd like to do, as long as it returns value for the money spent, dollar for dollar, you can do that. And certainly painting the house on the exterior is going to be a dollar for dollar return. Okay, you're going to get paid more for that house if it's painted by about the same amount of cost to paint it. So it's all good. But on the way over there, listening to the news and a real estate program, and it said something about be careful what color you paint your house. You know, I mean, who would think that anybody would paint it black? But black is the number one color of a house not to have. It makes it almost impossible to sell it. So if you can paint it black, if you want a black house, but if you paint it black, it's going to absorb heat. You're not going to be as efficient as it could have been. And the other thing is, it's going to be hard to sell, so you're probably going to have to repaint it before you sell it. Wow. Well, when I get over there, it didn't even cross my mind that they would paint this house black. When I get there, it was actually charcoal gray, which is a little nicer than black, maybe, with black trim, but it kind of made me shiver a little bit. So, anyway, choose your colors wisely. Typically, in California, most everything you do is supposed to be earth tones, okay? Earth tones. That means greens, light greens, beige, tan colors, things that you would see on earth and not in outer space, and certainly not in a dark closet. Another question that came up this past week, how do I go about finding a consultant? I had a client call on the East Coast. I see you're in Las Vegas, Nevada. I said, yes. They said, well, how do I choose a consultant for my project? And I said, by calling us. We'll help you find that consultant, wherever it is in the United States. Any consultants listening and you want to get more business, get on our list. We'll show you how. You can go to 203konline.com, scroll down to the handy notepad, send us a message, and we'll be happy to add you to our list for referrals. But how do you choose a consultant for your project? You know, it astounds me to see the criteria people use to make that choice. But number one, the lender is responsible for choosing the consultant. Even though we work for the borrower, it's the lender's responsibility ultimately to choose the consultant. So they have to make sure the consultant is worth choosing. They should be doing, and rarely do, evaluating the consultants. Get a sample of their work. See what it is they're going to turn into you. Quite often, a lender will provide two or three consultants that they have approved so the borrower has a choice. In many cases, the borrower will find a consultant online and request they be chosen by the lender. And this is more likely than anything that's going to happen to you. Because the homeowner is going to do their homework better than the lender in many cases. What questions you might ask your prospective consultant is, one is, how many 203Ks have you done? How long have you been a consultant? How many projects have you completed? Can you send me a sample of a project report so I can see what it is I'm going to receive for my money? These are all valid questions for your consultant. And I don't hear them being asked near enough. What we do hear asking, how much are you going to charge? How much will you charge me to do my consultation? Well, lordy, lordy, that just leads into a bunch of other questions. Since our fees are based on how much work is going to be done, we need to evaluate how much work is going to be done. So what's your budget? If you go to one of our websites, click on the make an appointment or order now, you'll see a list of costs and fees. And if you go there first and start clicking the buttons, it's going to tell you exactly how much your fee will be. I would ask them, too, what's the turnaround time for a standard project? And if you know your budget's $50,000, then tell them how long is a typical turnaround for a $50,000 project. or at 80,000, whatever your project is. Just ask them what the typical turnaround is. If it's more than a week, you need to find a different consultant. Any consultant should be able to do that in about a week. Realize the larger the project is, the longer it might take to prepare a bid, bid specifications and create a bid. We typically tell the clients 4 to 5 days from the time we get all the reports on the project. Report, what do you need a report? You're doing the report. Well, the report you're going to need is you're going to need a termite report or a WDO, wood destroying organism report. And your consultant can do that, although HUD seems to think that's a conflict. It's not. But it's important to know where you're going to get for your money. So get that sample. And all consultants don't provide the same level of service or the same level of report. I had a lender the other day that sent me a copy of an SOR, which is the scope of renovation. I don't call it an SOR. I call it a scope or specification of repair. But Lordy, SOR, specification of repair. There it is right there in front of you. But when we get that, that's all the consultant turned in. He didn't turn in a draw sheet, draw request form. He didn't turn in a lot of the other stuff that we turn in as a matter of practice. Our consultants are trained to turn in the entire package, which gives the home or the lender all the paperwork they need except the maximum mortgage worksheet. It gives them all the paperwork they need to add to their 203B paperwork and turn it in, which makes the loan go faster. So as you're into the 203K and you have a consultant that provides you all that paperwork, you're going to get more time to make the next loan. And that's what it's all about, how many of these you can get out. So I see it's we're running up against the clock already. That's interesting. I'll do one more little paragraph here. Let's go. Once you know the typical turnaround, you're in good shape. It's also important to know that what you get for your money. I had a homeowner call not too long ago, and she got caught up in a bait and switch operator. And what I mean by that is that she asked me what it would cost for a $50,000 project on a triplex, and I quoted a price of $850. That's $800 for the consultation, $25 for each additional unit after the first one. It's right in the HUD guideline. Pretty simple. She could have read it anywhere. She could have gone to my website and read it. But she chose to call, so I answered the phone and gave her the number. And she said, oh, well, I'm going to use this other guy I just talked to. He's going to do it for $350. I said, no, he's not. I said, he's going to do the $350 maybe for coming out today. And then he's going to charge you exactly what I did because we haven't had a raise in 25 years. Why would anybody cut it from $850 to $350? I said, it's just not going to happen, ma'am. He would have to be a real dumb businessman. And frankly, I don't think he would be in business still or very long if he was that dumb. Well, a few weeks later, I called her up, and sure enough, it was a show-up fee. And then they charged you. He billed the entire consultation fee so she wouldn't see it. She might miss it in the paperwork shuffle. But he actually charged $350 more than we would have charged and gave a lesser product. His sketch for the room addition was by hand in pencil. Do you know that that doesn't even copy well in a scanner or a copying machine? So anyway, if you want to be part of the show today, you can call us at 888-627. Okay, I'll wait. Go ahead, get that pencil. Let's go again, 888-627-6008. Be part of the show. We'll be right back after this short break, so stay tuned.
We've been looking for a home in a great neighborhood, but they're all too small. Then we heard about the FHA 203K loan program, where we can add a room or two when we purchase and get a single loan to cover both the purchase and the room addition. What a great idea.
Hey, we're back with you already. I started to get that drink of water, and I'll just have to put it down. Hey, what's the max? We're going to get back into the show. Let's get right into it. It's what is the maximum number of draw requests I can request on my 203K project? You know, a couple of years ago, I had a major lender turn down a loan when a contractor requested 10 draws. He wanted 10 $30,000 drawings on a $300,000 project. And I just couldn't figure it out, except that was before the 2015 update, which says now you can only have 5 draws maximum. But what it is I sent it on a Denver Homeownership Center webcast, and I thought we were going to get some real good input and insight. Sadly, they were merely reading from the 1994 manual and misreading this portion. So I'm going to read the portion to you as it was originally stated. There's going to be, that's 4240.4 revision 2 states intermediate draws 4 maximum and 1 final draw. Inspected by the HUD assigned fee or DE staff consultant or inspector. So we can have five draws, 4 maximum draws and 1 final. Well, it goes on to state if the cost of the rehab exceeds $10,000, then additional draw inspections are authorized provided the lender and the borrower agree in writing and the number of draw inspections are shown on the form 92700. The maximum mortgage worksheet. I mean, that's pretty clear to me that originally there was more than 5 draws allowed. 5 draws were allowed on a $10,000 project. Some of my projects are $500,000. Could you imagine 5 draws on every $10,000? It just isn't going to happen. You know, our guys get $50,000 a draw, $30,000 a draw. They're not going to go in there and get $2,000 a draw. However, a new contractor doing his first 203K is likely going to get in there and get something done really fast and call for a draw before it's even aged 2 weeks, before he's in the system. And that first draw is going to end up taking him 3 weeks to get. Had he waited and done a little more work and turned it in 2 weeks after the close of escrow, it'll probably be sitting in the draw department, and they can disperse a check rather quickly. But in September 14th, 2015, something happened. We got the new guideline, the 4000.1. And with that, it states very clearly there are no more than 5 draws allowed on any 203K project, period. End of story. It turns out that this is all the draws that the FHA wants to build into the loan. Now remember, FHA is just an insurance company. That's all they are. And they make their rules based on the actuary tables, on what happens in real life with these loans. And they found over the years that if they build in 10 draws or 12 draws or 15 draws, that's money they're borrowing. And when the loan goes into default, that's additional money they've lost. So what they've did as of 2015 is they say there is only 5 draws, and that's it. But you can build into the loan. Now, how does that affect the consultant or the borrower, for that matter? Well, the reality comes down to what happens in the field is a little more different. We can have more than 5 draws. It's just only 5 can be built into the loan as draws. But you have a contingency reserve, and the lenders are very They're very happy for us to put in a change order to do a draw if we need that 6th or 7th or 8th draw. Some lenders are reluctant to do it. The guideline originally said we had to collect our fee in cash, a check, so that they couldn't stop payment on the check. I only had that happen once, and it was a total fiasco. In my opinion, it was fraud. One, took over a project, and they gave us a check that they never intended for it to be good. Immediately stopped. That's a whole other day and a whole other story. But the contingency reserve can be used for those additional draws by most lenders. If they can't be, then don't worry about it. Just pick a check up and hope that they told you ahead of time so you can pick a check up. Although I don't see that happening. I did a draw the other day and I got a note back from the lender that there's only $283 and your draw is $350. Have to collect the rest from the homeowner. Well, that's good. Why didn't you tell me that ahead of time? I built five draws into this thing. We're on draw three, and you tell me you don't even have enough money to pay draw three? Okay, I don't know how that can be. Turns out they used it for something else. They ran short. They forgot to tell the client about a cost or fee, so they took it out of consultant fees instead of agency. That's not nice. But HUD also allows you to charge $100 for each change order. So if you're going to get a draw and you have to do a draw for it, you get to claim an extra $100. Makes it worth your time for the additional paperwork. Okay, let's get into the fun stuff. I'm tired of all this stuff. The fun stuff that I like is I love mixed buildings and non-residential buildings. So can I take a non-residential building and convert it to a mixed use or a residential building with the 203K? Yes, you can. Realtors, if you're listening, this, you got that old building out there, it's been a commercial building, and they sell it and it gets foreclosed, and they sell it and it gets foreclosed, and they sell it and it gets foreclosed over and over again. Why not changing it to a residential use? Maybe keep the store on the bottom, but let's put a entrepreneur in there. He's going to live upstairs and have his offices downstairs. We did one in Oakland on International Boulevard, 7th Avenue, and it was perfect. This guy had, now he had a fenced yard for his trucks. He had a showroom. He was a contractor, and he had a showroom for his client to meet him and walk through his design center and pick their flooring and paint their carpeting and so forth, pick their kitchen cabinets. It was a win for everybody. But the most important win was for the realtor who got to sell a property that wouldn't otherwise sell. And you do it for 3.5% down. Commercial properties typically take 35% down. At least they did when I was buying them. Back in the old days, yeah, Andy. So you've got a chance to sell a commercial property for 3.5% down. All you got to do is add a second story and third story, maybe, of residential property, which just gives them more rent. The more renters you have, the better your chances are of surviving, because chances are they're not all going to miss a payment on this. So you get it spreads your losses. It makes things a little easier to stomach as a small entrepreneur or an investor getting started. I had the past year, we've had one lender who kept finding these properties that had a foundation, and that's all that remained. In one case, it was a barn they found, and they wanted to convert it to a living area or a house. Any of those things are possible. You have to use the original foundation if you all got its foundation. So if it's been in a fire and the fire got the foundation or the footing too hot, it may not be buildable, so you're going to have an engineer come out and take a look. We're doing one right now, and the engineer came out and looked at it, and the foundation was fine. So I don't know what happened to that house. Maybe it had a fire, and the fire never reached the foundation. Very possible. So those are the kind of things you can do with these 203Ks. If you've been driving a burned-out building, a gutted building, like the one, we had one in Milpitas, down there, San Jose area. Yeah, I kept driving by it, and it annoyed me because it was sitting up on steel posts. And those steel posts at the top, it looks like they were a full 8 or 9 feet high. And those steel posts were holding up a beam on each side of the house. And put beams across and put the second story on that. The fire was in the second story. It did burn some of the floor of the second story, but it didn't bother those steel posts that were holding it up. It didn't bother the foundation, which is below, which is primarily the garage. So that would be a perfect 203K. For those people down there, my friends that are listening from the San Jose area, that's off Filter Road. Just take a ride out Filter Road a few miles and you'll see it. You can't miss it. It's clearly a 203K prospect. Find out who owns that building. Tell them you'll sell it. Or, lender, you drive by it. Find out who owns that building and finance their fixing it up so they can sell it and make more money. But it has all the markings of a good 203K. You can take all that charred wood off of it, take everything down, so you're all left with the foundation and those steel posts that are going to hold the beams of the second floor. But if you're looking to convert a non-residential building to a residential building, again, the 203K is your best hope. So these properties are all around you. You just don't know it. You don't notice them because you're not looking for them. And this, it's like homeless people on the street. You don't look at them. You ignore them unless you're going to help the homeless. If you want to go say, I got a few bucks, I'm going to give it to a homeless. You're looking for one. There he is. They're all over. There's way too many of them, by the way. But I have personal experience with the homeless. Years ago, I bought three houses and gave them to a group of homeless people who wanted to advocate for the homeless and help them. And we put 18 people, six people in each house. One of those people and I ran into each other in 2014. He's a millionaire today. From homeless to a millionaire. Wow. He just hit on hard times and didn't know how to get himself out of that. But again, that's another whole story. It'll take a whole day to tell that one. But it's fun. So, what I hear about, let's see. Oh, I do a lot of lunch and learns, or I have done a lot of lunch and learns. I haven't done any lately. Nobody's asking, so I don't do them. But lunch and learn is a experience where you put a bunch of realtors in a room. Typically, I do it a little differently so I can put some deals together in the room. But we put together a lunch and learn and offer first-time home buyers a chance to set in on that. And some investors who have just renovated some properties and don't have them listed on the MLS in most cases. And we do a lunch and learn and we put orders together. But I always hear some realtor, maybe half a dozen of them, will come up to me after the meeting and say, you've really opened my eyes. You know, I had no idea that we could do all this with the 203K. No, and that's because you've been listening to somebody who heard about somebody 30 years ago that had a problem with the 203K. You know, most 203Ks go off without a hitch. And if you get one that has a hitch and has a problem, recognize you got 99 coming after it that are not going to be a problem. Get past the problem. But if you can take a mixed-use building and sell it for 3.5% down payment, my goodness. If you're a young investor, you could be a great way to get started. One last thing before we take our next break. You got a nice house. You're looking at it. Your realtor found you a house. It's perfect in every way, except, my God, the colors they picked are just outrageous for you. Everybody has a different taste, and that's why they make paint. You can do a limited 203K, and maybe the construction part is only the paint, and that's okay. There's no minimum. But to paint a house, inside or outside, you're still looking at several thousand dollars, but you can get that rolled into the same loan, and it's neat. It's the way it goes. You just got to remember with the, you can change the carpet. If that's what you want, maybe put all hardwood. I had a client that had brand new carpet in the house they were buying, and the first thing they were going to do is take out all that brand new carpeting and toss it and put in hardwood because their kids are allergic to carpet. And I, sad but true, you know, I used to love to roll around on the carpet, but not if it ain't put down by ourselves, our own team. I don't know what's under it otherwise, but oh, you got 20% down, you can do the home style loan. I don't know. I don't think they have a minimum, but you'll have to double check on that. But there's no PMI. So we're going to go take another short break. Call in if you want to be part of the show. It's 888 627-6008. And we'll be right back after this short break. Stay tuned.
We found the perfect house, but there's been no updating it for many years. Then we heard about the FHA 203K, where we can buy that home and get the money to fix it up all in one low interest rate loan. What a great idea.
Hey, everybody, we're back with you. Thanks for staying tuned. If you want to be part of the show, call us at 888-627-6008. Be part of the program. We appreciate it. It makes our program more interesting when you do call in. So call us with your questions or comments. Next topic we're going to be talking about today is, what is your consultation fee? Get that question maybe half a dozen times, maybe more, every week. What's your consultation fee? Our fee is based on the amount of construction. So whenever somebody says, how much is your fee? The logical response is, how much is your construction budget? Our budget is $80,000. Or, I don't want to tell you that. I said, well, we can't give you a price if you can't tell us what your budget is. So, well, we think it's going to be $50,000. Well, that's $800. This comes right off the HUD guideline. Where it stops coming off the HUD guideline is most consultants can't make money on a $500,000 project for what the HUD guideline used to say. And they haven't updated that in 25 years. Yeah, 24 years maybe. Originally, it only went to $700 fee. Shortly thereafter, they realized that a lot of renovation jobs were $100,000 and more. So they bumped us to $1,000 on a $100,000 project. But you can't do a $500,000 project for the same $1,000. So most consultants have their own price list over $100,000 to $125,000. And that's fine. HUD has a guideline, and that's all it is a guideline. They suggested price. So getting the lowest fee isn't always your best avenue. If you're just calling around and saying, how much do you charge for a $50,000 project, and everybody says $800, you haven't gained a thing. They're all the same price. So what's a better question? What do I get for my $800 fee? Do you have a sample of your work? May I see it? Would you send it to me? Here's my email address. Send me a sample of your work, and let's see what this thing looks like. So now you have something to compare that $800 to. We provide a lot more than they expect. Our lender clients love us because we give them a lot of paperwork that is not our responsibility. But we give it to them because it's fresh and clean and pristine. So they don't have to make a copy of a bad copy of a bad copy and hand fill it out, because we're going to give it to them all crisp and neat in a complete package in the same order every time. So getting a your price is, it's not like a home inspection. Well, it kind of is, because this Home Advisor outfit and Angie's List, now owned by Home Advisor, they'll sell a contractor for a fee what sends you a lead. Well, they send it to three contractors, and whoever has the lowest price gets the job. And that's totally wrong, because again, what do I get for my fee? You got some recommendations. You get, you know, there's a lot of things that go into that fee that you don't see up front. But there's no protocol for what the consultant turns in as their report. And I had a lender the other day send me a sample of what someone else called their 203K consultation report. And all it was a scope of renovation. Specification of repairs, rather. a specification of repairs. That's all. We turn in so much more than that, that it saves the client, the lender client, about an hour to an hour and a half of filling out forms. And it saves, it gives him an extra hour and a half per project. And if he's doing five projects a month, you know, that can add up. So we do try to go overboard and spoil our clients. We deliver more than you expect. Recently, a client sent me that SOR, specification of repairs, and that's what that consultant thought. His entire job was to do that. But he has to turn in a sample draw request because they get signatures on that from the client and the contractor, so they have something to compare the signatures to later when they come in. Let's see. I did a job for a client a few years ago, and he recently rated on one of our rating services that sends out a sheet. 99% of them come in very good, but this one startled me because I had no idea that he was not happy, and his project was 3 or 4 years ago. And he was kind enough to rate us very poorly. And I'm not looking for any more poor ratings. Thank you. I got enough. But he was complaining in that rating that he says, I asked for a $30,000 draw for my contractor. But Mike only paid $5,000. So he would have to come out and do another draw to get more. And that way he got more pays because he got more draws. Well, that is so far from the truth that it's crazy, but you can't talk to some of these people. What happened was he requested $30,000. That's right. That's true. But only $5,000 of it was completed. Only $5,000 could be dispersed. And that's not our problem. That is the program. We pay for things that are complete or partially completed. In the case of a draw or a change order, rather, a change order is supposed to be 100% complete before it's paid. Okay, so you just because you request $30,000 doesn't make the $30,000 complete. In his case, $25,000 wasn't. And when I called him and I said, we can't give you this whole thing because you're not complete. He said, well, I know, but I need the money to go buy the materials. I said, you mean your contractor needs to go buy the materials? No, he's having me go buy them, and I don't have $25,000. So I need to get that money so I can go get the materials. And I said, well, look, we don't have a program like that, and you certainly didn't sign up for that program, which I've never heard of. So there are some home-style renovation mortgage lenders who will provide a 10 or 20% down payment, but not all of them will. And the ones that do, the other day we had a $500,000 project. I tried to get 20% up front because the lender said we do. 20% on a $500,000 project was too much. 100 grand is way too much. No, 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 not up front. Put him down for 10%. We'll give him 50, it was 52,000. So you got to be careful. I had a contractor run off with $26,000 once. He was overpaid $13,000, and then he got paid the $13,000 from a homeowner on a draw, and he just took it all and ran, and I have not seen him since. And the sad part is that he had done many projects and had no trouble. But life changes people, and money changes people, so be careful. Contractors can get more upfront money with their 203K projects. The limited 203K is always offered about 50%, except with Wells Fargo, which is no longer in the business. I know it, guys, but they only did 35% max. Prospect Mortgage, no longer in the business, no longer in business at all, and they offered 40% on these, but most other lenders would give 50% upfront, material and labor on limited, so that the contractors were typically smaller. Contractors, a lot of them went belly up because of the program, because the second half of that money is supposed to be paid upon completion. And it's a fallacy. If you think your contractor's doing a limited and going to get paid at the time of completion, it isn't going to happen that way. What's going to happen is when he's completed, he'll turn his paperwork in. He also must put a demand in or an invoice in for his fees, his final fees. And until he does that, the clock don't start. And the clock is 35 days, typically 30 to 35 days after he does his final and he's ready for his final payment, he might get paid. But in the meantime, they're going to send an appraiser out to take a look at the project, make sure that it's completed as agreed. And then if it has been, they're going to hold on to that money as long as they can. And as long as they can is typically 35 days. Why, I don't know. Some lenders want to get that money dispersed so they can get rid of the loan. They can sell it on the secondary market, get their money back in their bank so they can go loan it again. So anyway, we're going to talk about a few more of these fees and upfront money when we come back. We'll be right back after our final break for the day. So if you want to be part of the show, call us. And that number is still the same, 888-627-6008. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We've been looking for a home in a great neighborhood, but they're all too small. Then we heard about the FHA 203K loan program, where we can add a room or two when we purchase and get a single loan to cover both the purchase and the room addition. What a great idea!
Hey, I guess we're back. If you want to be part of the show, call us at 888-627-6008. Toll free and ask your renovation question or make a comment. Tell us about a project you might have done. We're happy to hear from you. Whether you're a lender, a contractor, a homeowner that might have had a problem with the 203K and how it was resolved. A lot of times, just the fact that you've done lots and lots of 203Ks, you've run into lots and lots of problems and solved them. So share some of those with us if you like. Anyway, since September of 2015, the new guideline, the 4000.1, states something like this. Mortgagees may disperse the following at closing. Permit fees. Permit fees can be dispersed at closing. But you have to have that permit before you, the work commences, but they're not going to pay it before you pay for it in most cases. But if you have a bid, they might. If you have a price on it, an estimate. But in most cases, I tell my clients, I don't want you going out and getting a permit on somebody else's house until you own it. All right, so if you own the house, then you can go get a permit on it. But in many cases, one lender was telling me that they get upfront permits on houses they're about to do loans on all the time. And I said, how many of those are in California? And they said, none. California won't do it. I said, okay, that's my point. At that time, we were doing most of our business in California. Nevada's the same way. You know, you can't just go in and get a permit on somebody else's house. You don't have any right to build on their house or do anything. Why would you get a permit on it? Permit fees are typically non-refundable. So why would you want to do that and then find out it didn't close? You've got this wonderful permit on a house that you don't own, and the deal fell through. So I don't reckon it. But they'll pay it. You can get it on it. If you can get that permit, show it paid, you can get reimbursed at close. You can also get prepaid architectural and engineering fees. So get those estimates, get those receipts out there, and get them turned in at close, and you can get paid. Prepaid consultant fees. Well, our consultant fees have always been reimbursable to the lender or to the homeowner. I love it when I go out to do a job and people say, well, you're coming out, but you want a check, and I don't have a check. I said, how are you paying your closing costs? Well, I have that money. I said, well, use it, because you're going to get reimbursed in the loan, and then you can use it again. Hello? But we're not going to carry you through your close of escrow. It's just we're not supposed to. We cannot be part of the transaction. And if we put, if we carry your fee and then it doesn't close, we've been part of the transaction and we didn't get our fee. And we don't get our fee. We have to take it to court to get our fee. And we performed our work. So we're, consultant fees are usually paid up front and the borrower is reimbursed in the, at the close of escrow. Material cost items. Okay, now this is careful. This is the change. Any material cost items prepaid by the borrower in cash or by the contractor in cash where a contract is established with the supplier and an order is placed. With the manufacturer or the supplier for delivery at a later date. So that sounds like it could be just about anything. So maybe you've got the entire project material list bid by one supplier. If you make a written contract, an agreement for him to deliver it 3 days after you call him and say the loan's closed, or something like that, then you should be able to get 50% of the material cost up front. They'll also pay up to 50% on materials not yet paid by the borrower or the contractor, where a contract is established with the supplier and an order is placed with the manufacturer for delivery at a later date. That would be like possibly floor coverings, cabinetry, stuff like that. And you can get paid up front for any disbursements paid to the contractor. The mortgagee must hold back 10% of the, on anything like that of the draw request. And they'll hold that in the contingency reserve. This is a big thing because you never got up front money before. You could always get up front money 50% if you provided a W-9 and a invoice from the supplier, but if that invoice showed labor, then the lender was told to regard it as a subcontractor and not a materials advance. So if it's got labor involved, you may find that you're out of luck and you're not going to get a 50% reimbursement. So permits and some of the other fees have been in the case for years. 50% on most, on some of the material costs are paid at closing to help contractors, give them the flexibility to do more projects. But it was by getting that receipt and a W-9 from the supplier, that is what must be done. And in doing so, the money goes directly to the supplier or the manufacturer of cabinets or something like that. It doesn't go to the contractor and then them, you're relying on them to make that bill because they'll pay other bills with it until they get some other cash flow and then start those things. So this is to circumvent misuse of the funds. Now, we had an interesting one. Ocean County, New Jersey, even some of those areas in the panhandle of Florida where they got damaged recently. We've got a friend down there, Garrett Weiss, who's doing a lot of consulting on those houses. And we find that some of those houses are worth more than the county loan limits, the maximum loan limits for FHA. Not to worry. You know, I had a question the other day. My mortgage balance is much higher than the FHA loan limits. What can I do? Is there anything I can do? Well, that's simple. At least two lenders that I know of, and maybe a lot more, but at least two that I can give you names, addresses, and phone numbers for, have renovation products up to $3 million loan amount. Okay, so if somebody's buying a house worth $2 million, quite often they have bucks in the bank too. And if they've got a decent down payment, I think you're talking, if you're going to go to the max, the $3 million, you're going to put 25% down. And so it's a $4 million house. They're putting $1 million down. And then they can finance $3 million and get the money to fix the house up as part of that $3 million. But it doesn't have to be $3 million. We've used this loan on a $1.5 million house. Had 250, it was about $1.25 million, $250,000 in construction costs. That's $1.5 million bucks. It fits this program. They go up to $3 million. But in that county, the maximum loan amount was $679,000. The last time I talked to either one of these lenders, the rate on that was about a point and a half below the FHA rate. They were 3%. These are 3% loans. So we've got a 3% money. Now, it may not be today. And when you call them, it may be 4, maybe 4.5. I have no idea what the interest rates are. And don't misconstrue what I'm saying to be a quote on a rate. It isn't. I am not a lender, and I don't make those. But when I heard them quoting 3%, I said, what in the world? How can you do that? And they said, we got a lot of investors that allow us to sell these loans at 3%. And it's our money. It's our portfolio money. We don't need to borrow money to do this. We've got a lot of money sitting in our banks around the country. So it's an interesting way to go. And if you've got these high balance loans, you can certainly do that. But it doesn't have to be $750,000 loan. If you need a $750,000 loan, you might be able to do it with these people. Because the HUD limit in some counties might be only $250,000. But if that house will appraise at $1 million or $700,000, one of these loans may be just what you need. Now, I do hear from both of them that they only do this for their clients. Okay, so this is their banking client. So what you'll have to do is you'll have to open up a bank account in their bank and say, hey, I'm a client. Now, I got good credit. I got a down payment. I want to borrow $750,000 for this house. That includes renovation. And that's not a problem. You can do that. So if you're having a problem reaching the loan limits you need with the FHA or the Fannie Mae product, then you may want to try one of these portfolio banks that lends their own money on these larger projects. Years ago, we did a loan with Calvet. I think I may have said this on the last show or a couple weeks ago, but I put enough money down that it was in excess of 30%. And when I asked them, they hadn't called me to get any details or any papers filled out or anything. And I called Calvet and I said, what's going on? When are you going to close the loan? And they said, anytime you want. I said, well, I haven't filled out any paperwork yet except that initial thing you gave me with my name, address, and phone number. They said, that's all we need. When you put down 30% in California on a Calvet loan, they have less than 1% of a default rate, so they don't even check your credit. So if you're listening and you've got bad credit, but you've got cash in the bank, you might think about a Calvet loan. And you might even talk to these portfolio lenders that I think they're looking for good credit, but you may find with a big down payment you don't need to have any. Why am I drawing a blank? I think it's the end of the show. Getting close. Anyway, you don't have to have a lot of cash. I mean, if you have a lot of cash, you don't have to have a lot of credit. So let's get this thing straight. So you got a lot of cash, you're doing well in life, but your credit was burned a few years ago, and you just got a low, what they call that, a credit rating. Don't worry about it. Put more down. Put a bigger one down. In fact, I'm thinking about buying 100 or maybe 1,000 houses here shortly. And I may be financing those things with a no credit check. No credit check with a proper down payment. So for you investors, you may want to come see us. Anyway, thank you for being with us today. We appreciate it. Join us next week, next Sunday, between 1 and 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. This broadcast is coming to you from our Las Vegas offices. And we look forward to seeing you next time. Please bring your questions and plan on calling in the program. It's much more fun for me and you, our listeners. if we have some calls coming in. So I look forward to you. Thank you so much.
Tune in every Sunday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time to BBS Radio Station 1 and learn more about making home renovations possible, profitable, and hassle-free. Isn't it time you learned how to make money doing something you love? Visit 203konline.com now and let's get your home makeover projects done right.